I just thank you for the faithfulness that you have shown over the years in being in God's Word. And I thank you for this privilege of joining you for this journey in faith. And you may wonder why I accepted Kirky's invitation when she called, because I just got back this weekend from being on a study leave for 2 weeks in a doctoral program. And the reason is that I'm in a doctoral program to learn how to pray. And I figured, well, maybe after studying for 2 years in this on prayer and 2 weeks of residency on prayer, maybe I should just say something for 45 minutes. You know, I just felt like it was a personal gift to be able to say, well, I think I know just a little bit. But honestly, we're always beginners in prayer. Prayer has never come easy for me. Never. In fact, I would consider myself a terrible prayer. And that is why I've just kept working at it. And at times, because of raising children, being married to a minister, being called into ministry, and going back to school after 20 years of nursing, I needed to borrow other people's prayers in order to pray. So I would read prayer books and have John Bailey's prayers by my bed and borrow prayers, because there was something in me trying to pray. And I felt like it kind of got stuck. But I have tried, and I have been invited into a program in spiritual formation at Gordon Conwell Seminary up in Boston. And so I can just say I'm continuing to try. My life is a little bit like Stormy. Do you say Martian or Martian? Oh, Martian. No Martian, Martian. A little bit like Stormy's, in that we both had rather stressful upbringings. For me, my mother has mental illness as well. And when I was 6 weeks old, was taken out of the home and placed in the care of others. And was in the home when she was out of the hospital or out of a state institution for mental illness, and was in the care of others all the way up until I left for college, and continue to be her guardian and her counselor. And so I have a little a similarity with Stormy or Martian, in that I felt like I was trying to play catch up with my own life, trying to figure out who I was in a life where a mother was absent and where really chaos happened a lot. There were lots of good times, however. My father is a retired Presbyterian pastor, always faithful to my mother. And in his ministry, which was all-consuming, he did take time to plan family outings. And though we had just a little bit of money to live off of, I know my mother made a meal out of a can of tuna that she would cream with sauce, and we'd have toast with cream tuna on it as a meal for five. We could do that with chipped beef. We could do that with hot dogs split with cheese. That was how I was raised, on a shoestring. But we had fun when Mom was home. And she would be home for 6 months at a time before she would have a nervous breakdown and be away for 6 months. We would go crabbing together in the San Jacinto Channel down in Houston, go to the park, do anything that was adventuresome. The good times were there, but because they were mixed with mother's illness, and dad's inability to raise three children by himself and have a ministry. I had an unconscious learning that was reinforced that if I'm good, then I will be safe. And if I don't cause any trouble, and if I do my part, we'll be okay and we'll be intact. And so by the time I was 8, I began to assume the housekeeping. And by the time I was 12, began to assume the grocery shopping and the cooking. And so I share that with you because it feeds into praise and prayer. Stormy's story. And I just am so appreciative of the gift that she's given in this book and how she has shared herself. And she shares that her salvation and her identity was born out of desperation. At 28 years old, she came to the end of herself and she discovered this relationship with Jesus Christ. And that relationship so changed her that it began fostering this incredible relationship with God in prayer and having written books on prayer. We see that as a testimony. But in this book, she says a time came when things dried up and when she continued to reach out to God, communicating, sharing everything. But the actions were there and the feelings were not. And that's when she learned praise, when she learned honor, and when she learned this thanksgiving. I quote to you what she has on page 24 of the book. There is a hidden power of praise. And she finds that, quote, in worship, you will experience God's love. He will change your emotions, attitudes, and patterns of thought. He will pour out His Spirit upon you and make your heart open to receive all He has for you. He will make your mind clear so you can better understand His Word. No mental helmet needed. He will refresh, renew, enrich, enlighten, heal, free, and fulfill you. He will breathe life into the dead areas of your existence. He will infuse you with His power and joy. He will redeem and transform you and your situation. He will fill your empty places, liberate you from bondage, take away your fear and doubt, grow your faith, and give you peace. He will break the chains that imprison you and restore you to wholeness. He will lift you above your circumstances and limitations and motivate you to help others find life in Him. Worship is really a gift God gives us. It is the means by which we find our purpose in life and then see it realized according to His will. End of quote. Stormy is obviously excited. She is convinced that she has made a discovery. And she's like a seasoned hiker that's ahead of us. And she's calling, I can see so many things. Keep going. She's really a trailblazer. Speaking of trailblazer, my husband has a trailblazer car. He's very fond of this. And he decided that he would risk doing what, you know, Coloradans do a lot. And that's just go all four-wheeling up on no existent roads. So I'm in the car with him, and we're climbing up Mount Princeton, close to Buena Vista. And we are four-wheeling for the very first time in what I think is a pretty large car for a no-road road, which means you are okay if you just lean to the mountainside and only three wheels are on the road and one's off, tire is off. And this is fun. And it absolutely melted me. I mean, I don't think I've ever been as melted with fear in my life. And he was really enjoying himself. And I wouldn't have believed that this thing that they call a road that looks like a goat trail was really something you're supposed to take a vehicle on if there weren't books out that say, you know, how to do this and where to go. And it's only because someone has done it and done it enough that you believe that, okay, you know, it's in print. Supposedly we're supposed to be on the rope, goat trail with this car. So sort of Stormy's like that. I mean, she's making a lot of claims here. And she's basically saying that worship is how to realize all of these things. And she's on a road that may look almost impossible. Well, I don't know about you, but this is the life that I've always wanted. And I think that we would say we really do want. But I am a questioner. How do we have all of these blessings? Here is what Stormy offers. There are two things. She says on page 23, God must always be the complete focus of your worship. But when you worship Him, there will be gifts and blessings that He will pour out on you. It's almost like seeing this wonderful figure and receiving Him, but behind Him are all the gifts. She quotes Jack Hayford, whom we know is a great worship leader and pastor. On page 38, she says, worship is the prerequisite for man's ability, or he says, worship is the prerequisite for man's ability to receive and live within the high possibilities and rich benediction of God's plan. So, number one, Stormy's saying the hidden power of praising God as your creator releases Him to create new life in you. That's a quote on page 40. Kind of like priming the pump. Do your part in praising, which releases God to create this new life in you, giving you back Himself and His blessings. Number two, she says, worship God not for what He does, but for who He is. And then her book is outlined in these two categories of reasons to praise God now, 15 reasons, and we will look at two of them, and then 15 times when praise is crucial. I think that Stormy sees the Lord high and lifted up. She is a master soul, and her vision allows her to worship and receive these benefits of intimacy. It's a little bit like the direction is an arrow going up of praise and then blessings. God comes down. Worship Him not for what He does, but for who He is. Now, as I said, my life has been remedial. I've always been behind. I'm not there with Stormy. That is not how I have experienced worship. But Stormy offers us a way to receive more of God. But I got to a point in my Christian life, this was in my late 30s, when I couldn't do that anymore. There were multiple reasons I will not go into. But for me, as a Christian who loves Jesus Christ and has sought His will, it was like all of Scripture and all of the encouragements and all the do this and then that. I had been doing this and that hadn't happened. And I was doing this and it didn't happen. And it was a little bit like living as if a peg way up on a wall. For those who are climbers in a gym, you know what I'm talking about. Way up there is a handhold. And I had jumped up off the floor, holding on to the Word of God, holding on to His promises, holding on for dear life, all my life to the Lord. But a time came when I got tired and I couldn't hold on to Him. And I was threatening, I can't hold on. I can't hold on anymore. Okay, this is the word of God. It doesn't seem to be doing the things you say. I'm letting go. I'm letting go. I let go. Ha. I let go. I couldn't hold on anymore to faith and giving God the first. I have lived with a structure of prayer. Praise, confession, thanksgiving, and then petitions and intercessions. Prayer journals will show you that for years. But internally, inside, feeling scattered, inadequate, gripped with fear, responsible, yet not feeling like I ever pulled my life off very well. So let me take you on a journey in praise and worship. The same Lord, the same house of God that Stormy is in and is inviting us to, where she is, I'll take you through the back door, because maybe some of you, just maybe, need to go through the back door like I did. Back door begins like this. We're going to be looking at God, praising God because he's my creator. The story of Scripture is in one grand story. One grand story. And creation, spoken in Genesis chapter 1, is the stage for the meeting of God with his people. And you know from Genesis 1:27, God said, "Let us make humankind in our image." And in the image of God, he made them, male and female. Love begets. If you love, it has a way of just having to be expressed. Love that is unexpressed doesn't even meet the criteria of love. God expressed his love after creating all of the universe and this place or platform or stage creates the people that he wants to live with. Love begets. Love shares. Love adores. In love, God created the universe and this world and said, "Let us make humankind." So intimacy with God is there, and as we know in Genesis 3, it was broken. God has been walking with Adam and Eve in the garden. They've been with him, and it's broken. At the very end of chapter 3, you see God killing one of his creatures, being the tanner, and taking the skins, and being the divine tailor, getting on his knees, measuring how high, how all the measurements of Eve and Adam, and clothing them, and then sending them out. You see then the pursuit. From then on out, we see the pursuit of God to get closer. Oh, Abraham, you are going to be a blessing, and through you, all nations will be blessed. We see this pursuit with God trying to get really close to Israel and being so close in revealing his nature in the law and then in the tabernacle and in the temple. And then we see this pursuit and this closeness in Jesus. I am the good shepherd. And then at the very end of the Bible, in Revelation 21:3, we see God sitting on his throne, and it's like he's got this huge lap. And you hear the words, "At last, I am dwelling with my people, and they are dwelling with me, and I will wipe away every tear." You don't wipe away tears at a distance. God is so close. So the whole theme throughout creation is, come near, draw close. I want to lavish my love on you. This invitation of God is continual. Come near, draw close. I want to lavish my love on you. And either we run away or stiff arm and say, "No, I want to do this life on my own." This is the story of God's pursuit, our response. God's pursuit and our response. All right, praising God because He is my Creator. I ask you a question. Why do you exist? Why are any of you here right now? It's really not because two cells united in your mother's womb. Because, as we know, they do not always produce a pregnancy, a viable pregnancy. The Word shows, and our hearts respond to the reality that you exist because God wanted you. God wants you. God actually wants you as His baby. He actually wants to raise you. He actually wants to share eternity with you. Actually knows everything about you and is constantly pursuing you. You exist because you are wanted. And He wants to see your face, and He wants to live and dance with you in this love. And so praise, prayer of adoration, adoring, is a way to say praise. Praise of adoration is the human response to the perpetual outpouring of love by God, which He lays siege to your soul. In other words, He's camped around you. And if you don't know it, we'll talk about that. We're going to get to that if you don't know it. But He's camped around you. He's laying siege to your soul. And adoration is when you, in a sense, give the response of, okay, I'll let you love me. I'll let you love me on your terms. I'll let you love me. Thanksgiving and praise come as a response. Now, why might we not have this thanksgiving and praise? I'm going to answer that partially now and partially in our second part when we talk about God as our Father. C.S. Lewis says some obstacles to praise, to adoring God, are inattention. Inattention comes when we miss the overtures of divine love. And it's because the legitimate demands of life create a blur. My goodness, we're going at a fast speed. Our culture makes it so normal. Think of the words fast and slow. Fast is actually approved. You get the nod of approval if you're fast, multitasking, if you're quick at things, doing packed schedules. So inattention is probably one of the biggest obstacles to praise at the speed of life that we have chosen. Another is greed. Greed, instead of enjoying the pleasures, we demand more pleasures. Instead of enjoying what we have, we demand more. Last week, as I was concluding a luscious 2 weeks with a cohort of other pastors in a retreat setting and great academics, great worship time, great friendships, and a great meal that we celebrated at the end, great big Italian dinner, I was driving back to the hotel grumbling in my own mind because one of the people hadn't paid me any attention. I was grumbling. And then the Spirit said, oops, you have looked at what? Look at what you have. Look at what I've done for you. Look. Now that's enough to drop you to your knees in confession and then praise and adoration. Another obstacle to adoration, this is C.S. Lewis, and maybe some of us can relate to this, is conceit. Getting smug over discovering God in the ordinary. We see pearl, dove, silver, where others see only gray. You don't get it, we lament. You don't see. In other words, we can't even praise because we are so spiritual. We can't praise. It's actually conceit. What are steps to adoration and praise? I have to say they must be learned. Think about children. Do they need to be taught to ask? Not usually. Do they need to be taught to thank? Yes. And just like creation, we grow in development. And so it's a developmental thing to practice gratitude, practice thanksgiving. And what is suggested by Richard Foster is to begin in the nooks and crannies of ordinary life. Start simply. Rather than feeling like we do have to see into heaven and see the majesty of God and see all that He has done, start with thanking God for a bed to sleep in. Gratitude. Thank you, I have clothes to put on. Thank you for food. Thank you for someone to talk to on the phone or to wake up to in the house or some responsibility that you've given that gives me particular meaning. It is where we begin to actually notice God who's laid siege all around and is saying, do you notice me? Tap, tap, tap on the shoulder. Do you notice? Do you notice? God is around us and showing up, but our eyes are generally blind. Practice gratitude, getting in the habit of giving thanks. You may find that using music, just like I use prayer books at times, using music also lifts you and helps you to worship, just like we had with Amazing Grace. I'd like to suggest that there's another way to enter in this practice of praise and adoration. And that does relate to the second part of Stormy's book, the next chapter, which is Because He Is My Father. And she does a wonderful job of sharing the issues of our difficulties in knowing God as our Father, as a Heavenly Father. And she does a masterful job of just showing how your relationship with earthly father oftentimes has a transference negatively onto God. And so I recommend and commend this reading to you because she does deal with that. I would like to say that Jesus knows what we feel when we hear and meditate on God as our Heavenly Father. He knows. He's been with us. So Jesus offers us His Father. That's the good news. Jesus offers us His Father. Now, Father gives us the image of a family. And family gives us the image of belonging. And belonging gives us the image of home. And this is what Richard Foster in his helpful book, Prayer Coming Home to the Heart of God, says in his opening words. God longs for our presence. He is inviting you and me to come home, to come home to where we belong, to come home to that for which we were created. His arms are stretched out wide to receive us. His heart is enlarged to take us in. I told you that I love Jesus Christ, and I always have. But when I was 14, my dad took me and my little brother to South Carolina for a vacation. My mother was in a mental institution, state hospital, and my sister stayed back with friends. So I went to the Ratterys' home in South Carolina, Florence, South Carolina. And it was my very first time to have a room by myself. And I walked in to the most loving family. And they had a room for me that had wallpaper. I'd never had a room with floral wallpaper. And a bed that was a double bed instead of a twin. And it was linen sheets. Never been on that. And a flower at the bedside. And she had homemade rolls for breakfast and for dinner. Never had I had that. I had the biggest buck teeth you could ever imagine. I could put a cracker in my mouth with my teeth closed. And here I was, loved by this family, Linda and Coleman Rattery. Like I was a princess, and I felt like one. I was in a home, and that was how the beginning of God my Father came home to me. The Father initiates love. 1 John 4, verse 10. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God initiates. God as Father, worshiping God as Father means Papa initiates the relationship. It's not something that a child has to produce to get Papa's love. And it's not something that a child performs to get Papa's love. Think of when you were young and you played outside. Now, lots of us know that now it's not what's common for kids to gather and play outside because of changing social ethos. But when I was growing up, it was outside, baby. And how many times can you remember hearing from the back door, "Children, come home, time to come home." That's prayer. That's the coming home. I hear come home. I belong somewhere. Someone's ready for me. C.S. Lewis says that when you come in the house, you're dirty children. You've been playing hard outside all day, and there you're led into the bathroom where a steaming tub of water is ready and thick towels have been taken out of the linen closet, and you're washed and dressed and escorted into the kitchen where good smells are coming. That is what it's like to worship. Let God love you. Let Papa call you home. Let Him take the initiative. Let Him care for you. Let Him Papa you, Father you. And that is then how we respond in worship. Hosea chapter 11, verse 4, is talking, God is talking out loud about His feelings. And He says, "It was I who taught Ephraim how to walk. I took them up in my arms. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down and fed them." John Calvin, Presbyterians trace their theology back to John Calvin, the Swiss reformer. He says that God lisps in order to meet our ability to hear. He matches His speech to our level. Praise is all about falling in love with your family, your Father. So what's the encouragement? Be small. Be a child. Matthew 18:3. Jesus, surrounded by His disciples, called a little child and had him stand among them. The word paideia is a little one that is just old enough to be able to say no to. So this is not an infant who's nursing. This is one, and in the original language, it's a little one. So we're talking about like a two or three-year-old maybe. So He calls this little one. and says, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is not a threat. This is actually lowering your role to being the recipient. That's the difference in the gospel. It's only the pagans, it's only the pagan religions who have us first appeal. I just say, be sure that the gospel is the gospel. And let God love you. And He has the first word, initiating. Praise is the response. And as we praise, we do experience the blessing. So Stormy's words are there. There's an initial word of God. Stormy teaches the right word, praise. Yes, you do receive all that the Father has. So keep first things first. God always initiates, always. Always the first word, from first to last. We have the second word, praise. And the result is more family life and more family responsibility and more family love. I close with what we started with. And I did not coordinate this with Kirky. It just means God really wants us to hear it. Psalm 103, selected verses. And I want you to notice who has the first word. And I want you to notice our response. And I want you to notice what happens. Okay. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear Him. For He knows how we are made. He remembers that we are dust. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens. His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, obedient to His spoken word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers that do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let us pray. Creator, we adore You because You do all things well, and it is good. And You have given in creation a meeting ground in Jesus Christ. And You have said, I want You personally as my child. And You have pursued us like the hound of heaven. We worship You because we have run out of breath. We have relinquished our own willfulness and disobedience and turned into Your open arms and fallen breathless into Your embrace. We worship You, Creator. We worship You, Papa, Father. We thank You for scooping us up, raising us to Your cheek, bathing us in the forgiveness, feeding us in the Lord's Supper and through Your word, and raising us to reflect your image. Thank you for each sister in this room. We pray that we might take notice of what you give us and learn gratitude and adoration so that our lives might just echo what songs of the angels take place without ceasing. So bless us as your family, adopted and loved. In Jesus' name, amen.